Hey, welcome to Church Online. We are just so thankful and grateful that you could join us. Today, I'm believing that God wants to speak into your situation. God wants to speak into exactly where you are. One of the things we need to be praying about is, yes, we are in quarantine, so we have this coronavirus, which the whole globe is affecting. But let's not also forget that we came into this virus, we came into this situation carrying other needs. So not only are we faced with this disease that is global, that has caused every one of us to be in quarantine at a home, but we've also brought other things into the home. So right now you might be battling a lot of things, and some of the things the coronavirus didn't create, but you brought it in. But I believe today that God has a word for every situation that you find yourself in. To me, one of the things I want to share with you today is I've seen more miracles happen in crowds than by laying on of hands. So in my time in ministry, in my time of sharing the hope of Jesus to the nations and to our beautiful nation of Australia, is that miracles can happen not just because somebody lays hands on you, but because of what you believe. You and I were totally designed to live by faith. The Bible says the righteous shall live by faith. So right now, you are designed to live by faith. So you have faith. One of the things that we are always battling is Satan has been peddling doubt. And his job is to put enough doubt. I've got a book that I use for in management, and it's called The Speed of Trust. And the definition of trust was put like this: say the truth in such a manner that leaves the same impression of the truth. So you can say the truth, but just twist it a little bit and it makes a totally different sound, makes a totally different view into your spirit and different definition. I want to read to you Isaiah 55 verses 11. I want to read it to you out of the Message Bible. So this becomes the foundation of unlocking your faith. This becomes the foundation of giving you hope. Isaiah 55, 11 says this. Now this is, you can look at it this way, that he's the Father talking to you. He goes, I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work, God's decree. For as the sky soars high above the earth, so are the ways I work surpasses the way that you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as the rain and the snow descends from the skies and don't go back until they are watered the earth, doing their work and making things grow and bloom, producing seed for the farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words that come out of my mouth do not come back empty-handed. They do the work I send them to do. They complete the assignment I have given them. So he's got this thing. God has come up and says, I don't think the way you think. So in other words, when you are looking at your situation, you have got thoughts about a situation. You've got things that you're thinking about. So there's the way that you think and the way that you work. And God says this. When we start to walk in a realm of faith that you and I were designed to do, our thinking has to line up with God's thinking, and God's working has to line up with the way God works. In John 6, some people came up to Jesus and says, what do we need to do to work the works of God? Jesus turns around and says to them, the work of God is to believe. So when God starts saying, I want you to work, he's not talking about your energy. He's not talking about your emotional intelligence. He's not talking about your IQ. He's going like this. Your work is to believe. So the Bible says, I give definitions to who I am. So the foundation of faith is that God is looking at the situation differently. So we have a look at your situation right now. How do you view it? How do you call it? And how does God call it? So if you step back on the foundation of, I'm created for faith. That means that I have been designed to respond to faith. And I've also been designed to work in faith. So if it's locked up, then it needs to be unlocked up. So what we want to do today is you need to be asking yourself this question. This is one of my fundamental questions. When people come to me and they go, Ted, I don't believe in miracles. Or I don't believe that God wants to prosper me financially. I don't believe that God wants me to prosper at work. My question is, How did you get there? What thought came into you that you have defined your situation, made a call on God, and said, that's it? So when I look at somebody's faith level, and I look at them, my question is how did they get to a point of fearless faith? How did they get to a point where they go, I am so confident in God? As you are listening to me now, I believe the Holy Ghost is in your house. I believe the Holy Ghost is in your mind. The Holy Ghost is in your spirit. And He is going to elevate you to a position where you can fearlessly look at your problems, fearlessly look at everything and go, I know that God is going to come through for me. I want to share with you two aspects of faith. It's found in Matthew chapter 8. And I want to put two miracles together. So in Matthew chapter 8, it starts off in verses 1 to 3, is there is a leper. He's contracted a disease that isolates him and that is medically was no cure for back then. And he comes to Jesus. Now understand, the first person that comes to Jesus is part of the lost sheep of Israel. When Jesus said, what's my assignment? He says, well, part of my assignment is to go to the lost sheep of Israel. So in other words, this person that's coming up to Jesus, this leper, has got a religious mindset. He has been in synagogues, he's heard the Torah, he's been through all the Passover, he's done all of that, and he comes to Jesus, and the first thing he does when he comes to Jesus, he falls down and he worships. So, and as he's worshiping, Jesus comes to him, and he makes and his faith starts to speak. See, your faith speaks. And he starts to speak and he says, Jesus, I know that you are willing, but I don't know whether you want to. So he says this, Jesus, my faith level is this. I have come to a point or foundation that I'm standing on that says this, I know that God can, which is brilliant. You've got to come back to this. Is God able to meet the need that you have? And he looks at me, Jesus, and he says this, I know you can, but I don't know whether you are willing. This man comes up to Jesus and says, I have got faith, but it's not complete. See, some of us are here. We have come to a position where we know God can. You know, we can sing, nothing is impossible to God. But that's only half of the equation. The other half, he comes up to Jesus. Jesus, I know that you have the power to take this leprosy away. What I don't know, what hasn't yet come alive inside of me says, do you want to? Do you want to? So sometimes, you know, something happens when, you know, you go, well, I know God can, but is it His will? So sometimes what we've done is we've looked at our faith and we go, I know, it's amazing, that promise. So you've got all of these promises. But then somebody comes up, but is it God's will for you? Is it really God's will for you to be totally healed? You can learn something from these days. You can learn. Maybe God is trying to teach you something. Maybe there's something that you haven't done. And he comes up to Jesus. Now, I want you to notice something here. In Romans 12:3, the Word of God explicitly tells us that he has given every person a measure of faith. Every person a measure of faith. So the reason he gives you faith is so that you can receive the promises. So faith is given so that we can receive. Faith is given so that we can receive. So he comes in and Jesus says this to me, leper, whatever his name is, I will finish it. In Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, it says that God is the initiator and the completer of our faith. Part of our moving into the things in God is saying, God, complete my faith. What information have I been given that actually causes me to doubt you? And what information am I still missing that will cause me to go out and reach out and touch you? So I love this guy. He comes up to you and he's to Jesus and he's honest. He's worshiping him because he understands worship. Now I love this. Jesus doesn't heal him because he's a worshiper. Jesus doesn't say, okay, you've worshiped now long enough. Now do this. I've personally seen this in a meeting where people ran down in front of a meeting and started worshiping for their healing. But Jesus never ever says that. That Jesus says, I want to answer you. So he comes up to this leper and he says, you have got half of the equation. You have got half of what is needed. But I want to finish it. Here's the good news. That Jesus' will for your life is for you to have complete faith to take up a complete promise. So the word of God is so powerful that it says, you just got to have one step. I believe that God can. I do not too sure whether he wants to. And Jesus finishes. And now, understand this. When God finished it for him, he also finished it for you. It wasn't just, well, that's just got to do with him. The reason this is put in here is because the world is saturated with people that know the ability of God, but have a doubt on his availability for them. So a lot of people go, I know God can, I know God can, I know that God can. And that is good. But we need to move on and go, now, complete my faith. Complete, because not only do I want to know that you can, I want to live in the joy and the power of being completeness. I remember this as I was preaching in a church in Brisbane. We had 3 night of meetings. And there was this young lady after the 3 days came up to me and she said, Pastor Ted, God just healed me. And I go, what did you have? She had this chronic disease of complete tiredness. And she went into another nation and caught a disease. And she said the problem that she was having is they couldn't diagnose the disease, so there was no cure for it. So they were going through all this diagnosis process. And she made it like this. I came into the meeting thinking God doesn't want to heal me. But he says, every time you preached, there was something that was answered. That was answered, 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 answered. He says, on the 3rd night, halfway through, I realized that I had no more questions why God wouldn't heal me. And the moment I had that, something rose up inside of me and I received my healing. So what was happening there? She came into the meeting with half of the faith. She goes, I know God is able, but I don't know what he wants to do to me. But sitting under God's word, sitting under the influence of the Holy Spirit, sitting under the influence of a church that's full of faith, full of worship, full of courage, full of hope, something had happened to her. So she went from a transformation where all of a sudden she had half of the faith and then God finished it for her miracle. The beauty with this is that God wants for you to have complete faith so that you can have complete miracles. Now, so God says, that's one word, miracle, is I am religious, I know what to do, I haven't completed it, God completes it. But then you'll find in verse 5 that a Roman centurion comes up to Jesus and he says, I have a servant who is paralyzed at home in bed and tormented. He needs healing. I want you to firstly notice he's a Roman officer. So what we have is a complete opposite. First, one is a lost sheep of Israel. In other words, he has a covenant of healing because he's in the line with Abraham. He's of the seed of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. So you've got all of this. So here comes a person that has no covenant with God. Number one, he is Romans. He is a Roman centurion. In other words, he is the one that's keeping them in bondage. They are under the Roman law. He comes up to Jesus with a need. Now, the first thing that you find is that Jesus says in verse 7, I will come and heal him. Now, to me, this is amazing. Number one, okay, first, watch this. The Roman is a Roman officer, so that means he is over and they are under. So he's in a line of authority. Second, he has no relationship with Jesus. So there is no relationship. Thirdly, he has no merit points. So he's coming to Jesus and he's going, number one, I am not an Israelite. I am not one of the lost sheep of Israel. Number two, he comes in. He says, I have no relationship with you. I have not sat with you. I have not eaten with you. We don't know each other. The Bible even doesn't put his name in. And then he says this, I've got no merit points. I can't come to you and go, I have a need. I've prayed, I've worshipped, I've given, I've attended, I've been doing this, I am circumcised, I read the Torah, I do that. He comes up to Jesus in absolute confidence, and he says, I want you to do a miracle for me. Now, to me, that is amazing. You have somebody that was involved in a religious system that had incomplete faith. And here comes a person that hasn't been tainted by religion, hasn't been tainted with works. He doesn't understand the sacrifices and all of these things. But what he does understand is this. Let this sink into your spirit. He understands that God is the source of healing. That God is the source of healing. He doesn't say, God, I want you to take away what you have given this young man. He says, God, I understand this, that I know that you are the source. So he's coming to Jesus without any religious background. And so to me, the Bible tells me this, that faith doesn't need religious ordinances. Faith doesn't go, man, I need to work for it. I need to get merit for it. See, Christianity is not a merit-based system. It is not that I earn something and then I get rewarded for it. Understand that healing is not a reward of works. Healing is not a reward of worship. Healing is not a reward. The reason I worship is because I love God, not so that I can get healed. So worship comes from complete adoration, that I absolutely adore God, so I'm worshiping. But I don't worship to get his attention. I don't worship so that I can say, God, I've worshiped for 10 minutes, now you need to put me there. You cannot put God into debt. So this Roman centurion comes, he says, I haven't got a relationship. I am over you. I don't belong here. And Jesus says, the first thing that you see that Jesus' response is, I will come. Now, here's the big deal with this. He's a Roman centurion. Jesus is known as a rabbi. It is in the context of the day that is breaking religious system. You would know that when we talk about the Good Samaritan, that when a priest saw somebody that wasn't a part of him, he actually crossed the street because he says, if I touch him, then I'm going to be unclean. And what does Jesus do? He says, I am not concerned about human reasoning on how I should act. Remember, I am not a man. And I don't think like a man. So God says to him, I do not respond to religious systems. I don't belong to man-made systems. And he comes in and he says, I will come. Wow, that is just amazing. Watch this. Now, in correlation, what we read is that in verses 1 to 3 of Matthew chapter 8, he says, I know you can. But I don't know you will. And Jesus answers and says, yes, I will, and be healed. This person comes in and he's got no relationship. He comes up to Jesus and says, I have a need. The first response is a yes. We serve a God of the yes, the yes, the yes. Yes, I'm going to bless you. Yes, I'm going to save you. Yes, I'm going to minister to you. Yes, I'm going to be in your place. Yes, I'm going to look after you. Yes, I am covering you. He's the God of the yes. And he says yes, so Jesus is willing to go. And then the centurion starts to do this. And he says, Jesus, there's no need for that. There's no need for you to come to my house. Now, when I first read that as a young guy, and I'm thinking, wow, I would have never said that. Can you imagine? Hey, guess who's coming to my house? Jesus is coming to my house. Jesus is coming to my house. And he says, Jesus, no need to, because I know something about you. So this is amazing. See, faith speaks. And he says, Jesus, I'm a Roman centurion. I am under authority because of Caesar, but then I have all of these men under me. And the way I get movement is by speaking, not by hitting, not by pushing. He goes, I understand authority. My commands are voice activated. So when I speak, I tell one to do this and he'll do it. I tell to another one, come, he'll come. He's saying that commandment, authority is voice activated. So there's power in words. And he says, I understand this. So to me, I'm just going, what this centurion know? I believe that he must have been somewhere down a track looking where Jesus spoke and there was healing. Jesus spoke and there was deliverance. There's something about the power of words. And this centurion comes up to Jesus and he says, I know this about you, because my faith is at a level that I don't need you to be physically there. I just need you to speak. Can you imagine the download that this is? That he's saying this to you right now in where you are. You're in your room. You might be in one room quarantine. You might be in a one bedroom flat. Whatever you might be, and you can't get out. And he says this, Jesus, this is what I believe. Jesus, this is what I know about you, is that your word and your physical presence are exactly the same. What you can do by speaking and what you can do by touching, being physically there, is exactly the same. Wow. Think about that. Now, just let that create some energy, some faith energy in your life, that the words that he speaks is equivalent to, in the same phrase as, in the same way as, is him being physically. As a young man growing up, I had a bit of a beef with Jesus. I just thought, God, I would have loved to have been born when you were on earth. I would have loved to be in your meetings. I would have loved to be there. I'm almost kind of thinking that I've missed out. You know, sometimes when people talk about, look, Ted, I was in this great meeting, I had a great preacher, and God did it, and you go, oh man, I wish I would have been in that atmosphere. And look what this centurion is coming up. And he goes, Jesus, your faith doesn't know the borders of time, nor does it know the borders of length. And he said to Jesus, all I need you to do, Jesus, is I want you to speak the word. What I just want you to do is just speak it. Just speak it. Just speak it. So he rings out and he comes up and he says, Jesus, we could stay here. You don't need to leave this geography here to go where I am. All I want you to do, I want you to speak the word. And this is the other part that he understood. Number one, he understood authority, that Jesus does things because of the power of his word. His word and his presence are exactly the same. And then he says to him, all I want you to do is to speak it, because I know when you speak it, it is done. Once you have spoken it, it is done. So what I am after is you just to open your mouth and speak. And so Jesus looks at him and says, this is great. Isn't it interesting that this man is considered to have great faith and he's not a part of the religious Jewish system? You would have thought that when Jesus said, I haven't found this much faith anywhere else, I personally believe it is because sometimes we get so caught up in doing stuff so that we can release our faith instead of just complete trust in the power and the words of Jesus. There are times when we think, well, I need to do this and this. This is where the peddling of doubt comes in. But you didn't pray enough. You haven't worshipped enough. You haven't done this. See, prayer is not about the formula of prayer. It is about the faith in the person you are praying to. There is so much time, and look, I've read books that tells you, well, the reason you didn't get healed is because you didn't pray the right prayer. Or you didn't put this word in. So sometimes that we can get so carried away with saying it right, doing it right. But it's not about that. It's about the faith in that person. The faith in the person that really matters. And so this centurion says, Jesus, I am not a part of the religious system. I've got no merits to give you. I haven't got any prayers to give you. I haven't got any worship. But what I do have, I give you. And it's what you have given me. The faith to believe that you love my servant that's paralyzed. And I believe that as you speak, Jesus says, I am astonished. And then he says this to him, go now home. Now, I want you to understand this, that the centurion's servant was, I think, just about, some of the commentaries say, almost a day's walk away. That the centurion comes, says to Jesus, Jesus says, go home. Go home. And the centurion doesn't do this. Watch this. He doesn't say, Jesus, I need some insurance. How do I know? He just goes, Jesus, your word is enough. Your word is enough. And what does he do? He leaves the physical presence of Jesus, turns around, and he walks away. Wow. Right now, where you are, is why not take the next step and go, wow, this is what God says. Now, when God wrote this in his word, he was writing it to you. He's writing it into your situation right now. He's writing, this is just for you in your health. You know, if you've got a back condition, you might have arthritis, whatever you might be, God is speaking to you. Let me finish it off. The Holy Ghost is here right now. The Holy Ghost is in your room. The Holy Ghost is speaking to you. And he goes, just let me be God. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that wherever people are listening, Father, lounge rooms, car, wherever it may be, Father, I just pray that they will just release that faith. I'm here to tell you that God loves you so much that it goes that you might be so far away, but God says it's not what you do for me, it's what I do for you. So today, on this Sunday morning, I'm praying for you that there will be going to be a reversal of things. And the way you unlock faith is let it go. Just go, God, you do not look at me and go, you haven't done this, you haven't done this. See, faith totally rests upon the one that gave the promise, not on me performing the promise. So right now, you are positioned correctly. God didn't give you faith inside of you right now so that you can lock it up and look at other people's venturing into their promises, but God's put it in for you. So today is a day for your miracle. Today I declare that there's a turnaround in your family, that there is peace in your family, there's peace in your children, in your business, in your finances. I am believing today that as you put your faith in God and go, it is done. God has done it. It's faith in God, faith in God. And you're here, you might be struggling right now. Why don't you pray this prayer after me? Holy Spirit, finish my faith. I know that God can, and I need to have that assurance that he will. And I believe that right now, God's doing that for you. And for some of you, you need to come up to Jesus, look confidently and go, Jesus, I have a need. I'm asking you to meet it, and I'm putting myself in your care because you are the exact source of what I need. So Father, right now, I just pray for every household, every person. Father, I pray for people that have come into this situation with other diseases. That Father, not just the coronavirus, but other diseases that have been put into quarantine. Father, I pray for people that didn't have peace before this and now they're quarantined. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just release the shalom of God. I release the presence of God. Father, I pray that every ear would open up and go, I will. I will, I will, I will. Father, we say no to maybe. We say no, it could be. Maybe it's not for me. Father, we just put these words down and we lift up the yes of God, the amen of God. So be done unto me according to your word. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the presence of God to come into every family, every situation, and let them feel the presence of God in Jesus' name. I just really want to encourage you for the rest of this week. If just ask yourself, how did I get here? What information have I been given? The Word of God is the only source we have to tell us about God himself. I believe as you unleash your faith, as you open it up and you say, God, finish it in me, finish it in me. It's not about religious doing. It's about believing in the source. Well, hey, God bless you, and I look forward to sharing another message with you really soon. Bless you. Mm-hmm.